This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Weathers inbounder.
What a basketball game last night at Xfinity Center. The Maryland men played in a game Sunday that produced the best ending in March so far. But the best game so far in March was played last night in College Park. The Maryland women rallying from down 17 in the third quarter to beat Alabama 111-108 in double overtime in the second highest scoring tournament game of all time. Brenda Fries has her Terps once again for the 12th time into the Sweet 16. Would have likely been 13th time had there been a tournament back in 2020. Maryland gets the top seed in the region, the defending national champ South Carolina, on Friday in Birmingham. Tip set for 5 p.m. on ESPN. Coach Brenda Fries joins me right now. You've been around a lot for a while now. You know, last night was your 860th game as a head coach in college. You've been involved, I'm sure, in a lot of memorable games. Where does last night rank?
Oh, well, first of all, I've got to say this weekend was Maryland madness at
yes.
the highest level for both teams. And you are right. You know, you kind of forget about the body of work and that many games. And clearly, you know, I've been really fortunate to be a part of some special wins, that overtime win and the national championship game. And but this one, you know, ranks right up there. I mean, it had all the feels, the emotions, the highs, the lows, being down 17 to coming back and the double overtime. And just can't say enough about the resiliency of this group.
So let's go to that moment late in the third quarter, 3 minutes to go. You've got 13 minutes left in your season, and you're down by 17, 62-45. What was the message to your team?
You know, just encouragement, trying to, you know, give as much positivity, confidence that, you know, just we didn't have to do it all in one shot. It, you know, had to come down to getting a stop, then a score, and understanding just, you know, valuing the possessions. And, you know, credit to the resiliency of these kids. I mean, they fought, they battled, they believed, and, you know, just a huge turnaround in that game.
You know, you've done it before. I think you were down 18 to A&M a few years ago and came back. I actually, in watching the game, I thought the final 3 minutes of the quarter, third quarter, were so crucial because you guys cut the lead from 17-9. And actually, after a turnover, you had a shot. McLean had a shot, a really good look to cut the lead to 7. I thought that stretch, getting it under 10 before the fourth quarter started, was huge. Did you feel the same way?
I did. And, I mean, like you spoke of, I mean, so many important plays there with Mir McLean, you know, off of the bench. We had Amari DeBerry, who hadn't played at that point and came in the game and gave some impactful minutes. And that's what it's all about in March, you know, being ready when your number's called. And you know, they just strung together a lot of impactful plays.
I mean, as a coach, when you're down by 17, getting it to single digits is a psychological positive, you know, hurdle cleared, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You got to, you know, find the motivation to get your kids to believe that they can still do it. And I'll say that about this locker room. I mean, they've trusted the process. They've stay true to it, you know, especially when a lot of people have counted them out this season, especially throughout the injuries. And, you know, it was, you know, kind of fitting to be able to see, you know, them be able to turn it around.
Up three, coach, at the end of the first overtime. They've got the ball. I think there's six point something seconds left. What was the strategy? I know you didn't want to foul Barker shooting the three, but was there a plan to foul and put them on the line for two before anybody got into a shooting motion?
You know, there wasn't. We haven't been great at that. I think also, like, we haven't, you know, also we've had some issues at the free throw line boxing out and those kind of things, and or inbounding the ball and within that. So, you know, clearly we thought we could defend the three and the play unfolded as it did. And credit to Sarah and the game she had, and to be able to step up in that kind of environment and make all three free throws. But again, I thought our group didn't flinch. You know, they went into, you know, the second overtime and clearly believed that they could pull it out. But, you know, no team deserved to lose that game. That was a heavyweight fight and, you know, just two elite level teams going after it.
Yeah, some of the shot making back and forth at the end of the, you know, during the fourth quarter in the overtimes was amazing. We are talking to Coach Brenda Fries. The Terps are back into the Sweet 16 after just an incredible game in College Park last night. And before I get to the performances of a couple of your players, I've got to ask you about Sarah Ashley Barker going for 45 points, five short of the all-time record in an NCAA tournament game. Take us kind of inside some of the conversations you and your staff and the team were having trying to slow her down.
Well, first of all, we had, our best defender on her with Mir McLean. Mir actually made her have to work for those 45 points. So those were not an easy 45 points. So to tell you, you know, what that looked like. But, we started when she had the hot hand. I mean, we started to double and try to get the ball out of her hands, and still had a really hard time because she's just that good. I mean, you saw her will to win and her competitive spirit to be able to lead her team on, and really, really talented player and difficult matchup.
Yeah, there were a couple times I'm like, I could see you're running double teams at her, and they're still, she was making plays. I was actually going to ask you, is it ridiculous to say, you know, Sarah Ashley Barker went for 45, but she also turned the ball over 11 times?
Yeah, she did. She did. And you know, having those turnovers were, you know, possessions for us to be able to go down and get shots at the basket. So, you know, you kind of pick your poison a little bit, but yeah, I mean, we were able to do some things defensively to be able to force those 11 turnovers that were really helpful.
I mean, it was a team effort overall. I mean, you had some really good defensive plays when you needed them in the comeback, but Sellers and Tibiasu, clutch performances by both. What makes them so good in moments like last night?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, your guard play has to show up. And like you talked about, those two, Kaylee, Michael, I mean, massive plays. And you saw the confidence level. They wanted the big moments. You know, this time of year, every team can play, and you can't shy away from them. You have to embrace the moments. And you saw that. I mean, a big play after play with Sarah on both ends of the floor, last play of the game defensively, big threes, and scoring when we needed to put the ball in her hands. And then what a fitting way, you know, both being seniors, Shy Sellers' last home game and her four-year career here at Maryland in front of our fans. So just couldn't be happier, you know, for both of them, for Shy and her journey, and to be able to, you know, lead this team now onto the Sweet 16.
I thought, you know, just watching on television, and I've been in that building when it's been crazy for men's games, but I thought the crowd really, really helped, you know, in the comeback in particular, as you guys started to cut into that lead. How much of a factor was playing that game at home last night?
I mean, huge. That's why you work all season,
sure,
to be able to have that as sixth man. And they were a massive influence. I mean, they impacted that game, the energy level that we needed to have, especially with the minutes that our players had to play in a 50-minute game. I mean, you know, both Sarah and Allie didn't come off the court, two of your five starters. And, you know, just that additional energy was, you know, huge for us to be able to pull it out. It's the reason why we're top 10 in the attendance every year. And we have the greatest fans in the country.
Yeah, it was a great crowd last night. You know, you mentioned just the minutes. Tibiasu played 50. Kubek played 49 minutes. I mean, it didn't seem like at any moment. I thought if Alabama, and I thought in particular Ashley Barker, really started to look a bit exhausted at the end. But for a game that just had the pace to it and then, you know, the 10 additional minutes of two overtimes, it didn't really look, watching it, like fatigue was a major issue with your team.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they didn't show it. I'll say that. I could,
okay,
you know, see the fatigue in Alabama. You know, I thought we were able to use our timeouts wisely when we did see it, you know, coming into play. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they did a phenomenal job, you know, digging deep to be able to, you know, last through the 50 minutes.
Two of the best coaches in the game go at it in the Sweet 16 in Birmingham, Dawn Staley and Brenda Fries. They are the defending champs. You played a great Elite Eight game against them 2 years ago. Talk about the challenge. What do you need to do to pull it off on Friday?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they present a lot of problems. They are really deep, you know. They go 9 or 10 deep. I mean, their two leading scorers are off the bench, if that tells you anything, out of their rotation. They're always, you know, lead level defenders, get out in transition. They're hard on the glass. They rebound extremely well. But look, every team at this point in this stage of the game, Sweet 16 can play. And so you're going to have to come out and, we're going to have another game as good as this one, you know, in order to have a chance. And, you know, that's all you can ask for. I know our kids are fired up. They're motivated. They're driven. And we're going to go give it our best shot.
What makes Dawn Staley so successful as a head coach?
Yeah, you know, that level of consistency year in and year out. I mean, she gets her players to buy in. I mean, there's not a lot of programs where your top two scorers would be happy to be coming off the bench. So she finds a way to keep their morale. And, you know, through all the, you know, 10 All-Americans she has, she's able to, you know, keep them intact. And that's not an easy thing to do nowadays. And, you know, just does a phenomenal job with her group.
Do you know her well? Who are your close friends in coaching?
Yeah. No, Dawn and I know each other extremely well, all the way back to her days. You know, we kind of came up at the same era, you know, when we played. But, you know, I mean, you know, closer friends. Tina Langley, you know, was on my staff. She's in the Big Ten now at the University of Washington. Our Big Ten coaches are, you know, a really connected group. Chrissy Curry last night at Alabama. I mean, she's someone from the days when I was at Ball State as a first-time head coach. She was at Purdue and someone I really looked up to, and someone who, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking to within the game. So Tricia Cullip at Miami, you could go on and on. But, you know, a lot of great coaches that support one another.
You are certainly one of them. Your run at Maryland's been truly amazing. I'm curious, and I've probably asked you this before in recent years, but how has the current era of NIL and transfer portal been for you? What are the challenges?
A lot of challenges, but, you know, you adapt. I think you can see with the roster that we currently have, you know, Sarah Tibiasu, Sailor Poffenberger, Christina Dulcie, you know, Mir, Amari DeBerry, you know, a lot of players we were able to get out of the portal last year to help us be successful this season. So, you know, it's here to stay. I think our staff has really found what works for us. You know, the portal actually opens today. Great timing, right? When you're
Why
trying to get
that?
Ready for a Sweet 16 game. I wish I knew. You know, it should start after the you know, Final Four finishes, but you know, I don't make the rules. They don't ask me. And now here we are juggling both. You know, we're not only, you know, getting together today to work on our scout, we're also working through where our calls need to go in the transfer portal. So, you know, the busiest time of the year, but I'm not complaining. I'll get sleep when the season ends and, you know, looking forward to seeing, you know, what lies ahead.
Did you know that this was the first time since you've been at Maryland where both the men and the women have been in the Sweet 16 at the same time?
You know, when they told me that last night, I was really surprised. But then when I thought about it in my 23 years, you know, it made sense. You know, but yeah, I mean,
well, you've been there a lot. It's been the men that haven't held up their end of the bargain.
Well, I'm really happy for the men. I know how hard their staff works, their support staff, their players. You know, you couldn't ask for a greater group. And I'm really, really happy for our university and our state. I mean, you know, such exciting times and the support that we've been given, you know, within our administration and all the way down from the president and the governor, you know, has been to, you know, to many of our games this year. Our president comes often, so our administration is there at every game. So I can't say enough. It's pretty cool to be able to have on this national stage to, you know, be, you know, one of only four schools that has, I mean, think about that, one of all the 300 plus schools, only one of four schools to have their men's and women's team in the Sweet 16. That's pretty special.
You know, for you, the Sweet 16's become a regular thing, and you've won a national championship. You've been to multiple Final Fours. How do you balance sort of the excitement of last night and advancing to the second weekend, the Sweet 16, especially for players that perhaps are doing it for the first time? How do you balance kind of the excitement of all of that with, hey, guys, this is not the end here. This is just the beginning. The goal is to win the whole thing. Is that a tough thing? Because college sports are interesting. There's a lot of celebration for Sweet 16, for making the Final Four. It's odd that way that college sports, sometimes making the Final Four is as big as winning it all. How do you balance that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a big thing. It's really hard to do. So, you know, of the 300-plus teams, it should be celebrated. And I think you have those moments. You know, last night I took it in with my family as well. You know, I wasn't, you know, going to start scouting until today. You give yourself that moment for our players. They'll get an extra day with their day off today. And we'll worry about it as a staff of the scouting that we've got to get done. But you know, it's easy to get them to lock back in when you get back together and quick turnaround for us. We leave tomorrow and you get together and you watch film and, you know, they know what's at stake. So you come down from that high and you're ready to go do it again.
Brenda Freeze looking to take the Terps to what would be her eighth Elite Eight. If they can pull off the win Friday against the top seed in the Birmingham region, South Carolina. Thanks for doing this as always. Best of luck on Friday. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much. Go Terps.
Yep, go Terps. Brenda Freeze, everybody. What a run. I mean, Denton. She is at Maryland. 605 wins, 168 losses. All right, so a 783 win percentage. Her record in the Big Ten is 159-34, an 824 win percentage. You know, there were new players. The portal, you know, means you got to coach them up differently each year, a whole new group, and they're back into the Sweet 16, and she's trying to get to her eighth. It would be her eighth Elite Eight at Maryland. powerhouse program, Hall of Fame coach. And really, when you think about it, in our area, and I can only speak to sort of the major sports, somebody will, I mean, I know John Tillman's had a phenomenal run as Maryland's lacrosse coach, and there may be examples of a gymnastics coach or something else at another local school, but locally, professionally, and in college, nobody has had the current amazing run that Brenda's had at Maryland. Nobody in town. Not even close, right? 23 years? That many wins?
Nah,
am I missing somebody?
Of the major sports, I can't think of anybody.
Yeah. All right. We'll do some Denton news when we come back. John Fanta from Fox will join us at 11. Kevin Willard scheduled to join us at 11:25. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.